Please turn in your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's 1 Chronicles chapter 29, please. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me say thank you so much for the staff and faculty here, of course. Brother Young, I know Brother Young for many years, and Brother Young was always an example to me when I was here in college. And I looked at this great staff and these great teachers and people that serve God, and they affected me very much. And so I appreciate their investment in me. And as the sermon will say here this morning, one day God is going to again tally up all the people that invested in each other, and I believe there's going to be many people getting credit for what's done, again, for the things that our graduates have gone out and done, myself included. And I appreciate this place so much. I love this place, and I love Pastor Wilkerson, and I love the work that's been done here at First Baptist Church. If you would, I know it's your custom, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 14. There, if you'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word, of course. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 14. I'm going to have you turn three other times in the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 14. David here is praying to God, and he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 14, he said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Notice the next statement, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for being our creator. Thank you, Lord, for giving us our life, our salvation. And Lord, we just gather together here for this hour today because we want to sharpen one another, Lord. And again, the things that you've taught me here 30 years, I am responsible to tell others. Please give me wisdom and help us to, again, all one day be able to look back on our lives and have a full life of ministry. Bless these young ladies, these young men. Bless the faculty of Hiles Anderson College. And Lord, may you just continue to give us the truths that we need that we may serve you for our entire lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in New York City, and somebody gave me a rabbit's foot. And I was really enamored with the thing because you don't see a lot of rabbits hopping around on the sidewalk on the concrete. So I was kind of enamored with it, and it actually had the real claws. It was a real rabbit's foot. And they told me that it would bring me good luck. And so I actually kept that thing in my pocket, and I remember it stuck out a little bit, but it was a real rabbit's foot, and I was really, really feeling like it was going to help me. Well, as any typical kid, a couple weeks went by, and I lost the thing. Well, if that's what I was depending on for luck, it wasn't going to last very long. As I get older, one of the things I look for is I look for things that don't let me down. I want to depend on something that I know I can depend on. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning here. Let me remind you, young people, truth is something that never changes. If you base your life on truth, you will always have something to motivate you and to keep you where you ought to be. It's unchanging. It never changes. And I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on four truths that will enable you to serve God for the rest of your life. The first one comes from David, as we just read there in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Notice here that David said to God, he said, "God, all things come of thee." And again, he said, "Of thine own have we given thee." Number one, let me say this, all belongs to God. And when God asks for something, he's just asking for what is his. You see, the rationality of David was this: God, you're the one that gave me everything. If you ask me to give you my youth, if you ask me to give you my life, if you ask me to give you something, I'm just giving you back what really belongs to you anyway. Please listen to this statement. Technically, serving God does not cost me a thing. I am just giving God what really belongs to him. We have to be reminded the earth itself that we live on belongs to God. The psalmist said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The heavens that the earth is suspended in belong to God. Behold the heavens and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also and all that therein is. Remember, young people, the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. When Esau and Jacob met together here, Esau said, "Who are these?" And Jacob said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." Everything I have, whether it's my family, whether it's my strength, whether it's my youth, whether it's the gift I have, really don't belong to me. They belong to God anyway. Paul said, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's." the songwriter wrote, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. I'm saying this, one of the things that you and I can cling on to, that we can, if you will, take into our heart, and it'll cause us to serve God for our entire lives, is realizing that the ministry is simply giving God what belongs to him. That's all it is. And he has rights as well to ask us for our life, to ask us again for the best that we have. Really, truly, we just belong to God anyway. Someone said, consecration is not giving ourselves to God, but rather consecration is taking our hands off of what already belongs to God. Listen, God is the one that created all things. Listen, you and I did not create ourselves. We did not gift ourselves with the abilities that we have. We are not here by our own ability. So serving God could be seen simply as something like this. God, you have total right to ask for anything that you have given me. And that's what David said. He was simply using what belonged to God all along. You see, serving God is really no withdrawal to us. It is no loss to us. Again, truly, we live in God's creation. We live in God's days. We live in God's kingdom. We live, again, by God's strength. It's God's family. It's God's country. It's God's earth. It's God's flesh. Again, the Bible records simply how you and I are instructed to use that which belongs to God. Ladies and gentlemen, does not God have the right to ask us for our life? It truly belongs to him. Amen. And David said, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given that which belongs to thee. Whether, again, it's the opportunity, or whether it's the palace, or whether it's the victories, or whether it's the success, doesn't matter. If you remember, Jesus said in Matthew 25, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The servants didn't own anything. It was the masters that he gave to the servants to use. Remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? And the younger said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. It all belonged to the father. The father gave that son what belonged to him. Listen, if you and I would grasp that, if you and I would take that in, listen, when God asks for something, God has every right to for me to say, yes, sir. God has every right to expect me to give it to him because it belongs to him. I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to take something that belongs to God. Everything belongs to him. And when we give God something, we're just giving God what really belongs to him. You see, he may direct us. He may guide us. And that's his total right. Listen, if somebody asked me for $1,000 and I give them that $1,000, I could walk away and say to myself, man, I could have bought a new suit or I could have repaired my car with that money. But listen, that's not the Christian life at all. Listen, it was like a man that has infinite wealth coming to me and saying, here, Mike, here's $10,000. Now, listen, I want you to give $1,000 to that guy over there. I'll gladly do it. I'm simply taking that which belongs to the rich man and giving it to the one that he directs me to. And sometimes I even get to keep some for myself and use it for myself. That is biblical Christianity. We are just taking that which belongs to God and giving it back to him, whether it's the gold or the silver or the wood or the time or the effort. Listen, you and I belong to God. A Baptist theologian wrote in his Bible, take my mind and let it think for thee. Take my tongue and let it speak for thee. Take my eyes and let them see for thee. Take my hands and let them work for thee. Take my feet and let them go for thee. Take my heart and let it love for thee. For I belong altogether to thee. A man said, your life is a trust from God, something to be used for his glory. Unfortunately, far too many people, even good Christian people, are poor stewards. Because God gave life, he has every claim to life. Believing that life is only to be used for the giver of life will save our life from misuse. You see, it is when we start thinking that our life belongs to us, and the things of this life belong to us. Now they're prone to be misused because no longer do we listen to him and give him the proper place in our life. Listen, if you and I would remember that God truly owns us and owns everything we touch, everything we see, it'll protect us from misusing that which God has allowed us to have in our hands. We are the potter's clay. We are the builder's stones. Listen, the talents he gave to us, they belong to him. Listen, that boy that gave those five loaves and fishes to the apostles, those were God's hands. Anyway, the Hebrews were God's people anyway. The donkey that man gave to the apostles when they came and asked for that donkey so Jesus could ride into Jerusalem, that donkey belonged to God anyway. The ship of Peter that God asked him to give up, that belonged to God anyway. Samson's strength and Solomon's wisdom and Daniel's discernment belonged to God anyway. Young people, remember that when you come to God and God says, I want you to give me this, I want you to give me this, it belongs to him anyway. He's not asking you for something or me for something that belongs to us. He's simply saying, I want to use it this way. And that will keep us going, I can tell you, for 30 years. Anything God wants, he has the right to say and direct at any time in our lives. Amen? Please look in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39, please. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. Some truths that will enable you to serve God your whole life. Number one, please remember, all belongs to God anyway. Everything belongs to God anyway. Number two, in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39, Jesus said this to the apostles. He said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life, for notice the next two words, my sake, shall find it. Let me tell you what will keep you going in the ministry. Do everything for Jesus' sake. I'm doing this because Jesus saved me. I'm doing this because Jesus is my Savior. I'm doing this because Jesus is my Redeemer. Listen, that is a motivation. That is a principle of truth that will keep you going for as long as you live. Listen, when I speak to people that have stopped serving God, and many times I'll ask them, what caused you to stop serving God? Immediately they'll go to a situation. Well, this person maybe let me down, or this person mistreated me, or something difficult came into their life, or circumstances changes. Brothers and sisters, it's always something in the world. And I ask you this morning to look at your motivation. Listen, and make sure that what you're motivated by is not of this world, because the world changes constantly. People come and go, and things again change constantly, but Jesus never changes. Listen, there's many good reasons why we ought to serve God. And I, as a bus captain, I used to say them all the time, and they're very good. Listen, people need us to serve God. There's a great need in the world. There are less good churches today. We ought to have compassion. We ought to have a heart for people. Again, our country needs us. Time is running out, and all of them are good motivations, and all of them are true. But my friend, Paul didn't say that in the Bible. He said in Romans chapter 15, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the Lord, love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we are fools for Christ's sake. What he was saying is this, there's a lot of needs out there, and people may ask us for different things, but at the end of the day, I do what I do for Jesus' sake. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Listen, he was saying to the church there in Corinth, he said, listen, we serve you and we want to be your servants. But the truth is, our motivation comes from the Lord. We're doing what we do for Jesus' sake. Paul was a missionary. He traveled. Again, he was mistreated many times. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off, beaten, stoned, shipwrecks, journeys, perils, weariness, painfulness, hunger, thirst, cold, nakedness. And yes, Paul said, our work is with human beings. Our work is with souls. Our work is in the church. Our work is with our people. Our work is on the bus route. Our work is in Sunday school. Our work is with youth. Our work is with children. Our work is again in Christian college. But the truth is, at the end of the day, I do everything for Jesus' sake. I do it because of who he is, not because of who I am, and not even because of who you are. Listen, it's Jesus' sake. It's for him. And again, I want to be right with him. That's what Paul was saying. Again, he's the one that again called us. He's the one that goes with us. He's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that answers our prayers. For Jesus' sake means on account of Christ, for Christ himself, for his glory, for his benefit. He's the one behind, again, why we do what we do. He is worthy for us to serve. Again, it is an unchangeable motivation. It does not matter where you go one day when you graduate Bible college. It does not matter if you stay in America or go to a foreign land. It doesn't matter if your church has 2 people or 200. It does not matter. If you do everything for Jesus' sake, you'll always have a reason to keep on going. There will probably come a time in your life when you look around, and again, people will have failed you, and people's promises that they made you will have been broken. And things will turn out not the way you, again, had ideas when you were in Bible college, and maybe the results will not be what you expected. And you'll be tempted to be disappointed. You'll be tempted to be disillusioned. But my friend, if you did it for Jesus' sake, it's all okay. Because you did it for him, and you did your best for him. Again, it is not true that we again willingly do things. Is it not true, I'm sorry, that we willingly do things for a person that we would never do for any other reason? Is it not true, as a husband, we do things for our wives that we wouldn't do for anybody else? Isn't it true, as a wife, we do things for the husbands? Listen, that again, you couldn't pay us to do. Is it not true that's how we were wired? We were wired to be motivated by a relationship with someone. Listen, we were motivated, again, we're motivated to do something because we love somebody. We care for someone. Would you not love him? Would you not honor him? Would you not do things for Jesus' sake? He's unchanging. He's holy. He again gave you all that you have. He shed his precious blood for you. He is worthy. Don't forget that. For Jesus' sake, teach your Sunday school class. For Jesus' sake, drive that bus. For Jesus' sake, graduate from Bible college. For Jesus' sake, go into the ministry. That'll never let you down. It'll keep you ongoing. Again, for Jesus' sake, forgive those that trespass against you. For Jesus' sake, love those people that hate you. For Jesus' sake, be patient. For Jesus' sake, endure. For Jesus' sake, make the sacrifices that are necessary. Do all for Jesus Christ. Listen, if you do that, you'll never be unmotivated. Charles Spurgeon one time preached a sermon, and he said, why did Jesus die? Because we were worthy? Of course not. Because we were good? Of course not. Because he had to? Of course not. No, Jesus died because the Father loved us before the foundation of the world. Jesus died for you and me for the Father's sake. And then, listen, why does God accept us now as his children? Oh, because we are something? No. God the Father accepts us for Jesus' sake. The only begotten Son. My friend, you and I, we need to do all for Jesus' sake. Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Yes, have compassion. Yes, make a difference. Yes, respond to people's requests, but continue to make your motivation Jesus' sake. Be loyal to him. Follow him. Be yielded to him. Listen to him. Follow his call. Continue for Jesus' sake. Paul said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not as unto men. If we do things for Jesus' sake, we will always do our best. If we do all things for Jesus' sake, we'll never be disappointed. Listen, if we do all for Jesus' sake, we'll again, I never have a reason not to keep on going. We'll never quit. Again, that'll keep you going for the rest of your life. Do it for Jesus' sake. Would you look in your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Let me encourage you to remember that all things belong to God. And when you give God something, it really belongs to him anyway. And that's completely fair and right. Let me encourage you, young person, to do all for Jesus' sake. Oh, let me tell you what, you can never do enough for him. You'll never do enough for him. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 22, the Bible says, for we know that, notice the next three words, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Understand that life on earth is tough no matter whether you serve God or not. Follow along with me and follow my rationale. It's not just you as a Christian person that suffers in this world. Listen, people, sometimes Christian people get upset when troubles and trials come. They feel sometimes like Christianity is unfair. They feel like they have to suffer more sometimes than others who seem to have smooth sailing. Listen, let me remind you, the whole earth suffers together and groaneth and travaileth in pain. Nobody's life goes the way they want it to. Nobody is above the consequences of sin in this life. In Romans chapter 8, 22, the Bible says, we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Again, the whole earth is moaning and has this burden upon them as in travailing and suffering and pain. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The whole world is suffering. All people have heartaches. All people have crushed dreams. All human beings sometimes, again, weep and are brokenhearted and suffer loss. All people, again, suffer the consequences of sin. And what's so dangerous sometimes is we get sort of looking at our difficulties and the trials we go through. Maybe as you go to Christian college and we start focusing on ourselves and we get this self-centered mentality and we don't realize it's the whole world. It's everybody. It's everything. This building, this whole earth is, again, groaning and travailing in pain as a consequence of sin. Christian, I want to say this morning, you have not been singled out. Listen, God is not bullying you. Listen, there's no problems here. Everybody has health problems. Everybody's dealing with cancer. Everybody's dealing with family difficulties. Everybody's dealing with financial problems. Everybody deals with trials and death and setbacks. All of us do. If you remember the parable Jesus told about the foolish man, the wise man. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Well, guess what? They both had wind, and they both had rain, and they both had floods. It goes across the board to everybody's house and everybody's life. Paul was hated. Peter was jailed. James was beheaded. Stephen was cast out, stoned to death. Philip was called out to the desert. I mean, it goes on and on. Daniel faced trials and difficulties. Ezekiel was exiled, and Isaiah was in prison, and Hezekiah was deathly ill, and Naaman had leprosy, and Hosea had a broken heart, and Elijah went through a famine. Listen, in the church of Smyrna, God said, I know your tribulation. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. It's everybody. It's all the time. Now, here's my rationale. If I have to suffer in this world, no matter what I do, I might as well serve God. I might as well do it for a reason. I might as well have something to show for it. Listen, this whole world is going to suffer. And listen, they're one day going to have consequences because of their sin. And they're going to suffer. Listen, people without God, listen, they have to face God at the white throne judgment seat one day. They're going to have suffering. Listen, as a Christian, I'm going to suffer too. It's just the way it is. I have to fight the devil. I have to fight the flesh. I have to fight the world. But listen, at least I go through my suffering and I use it in some way. After it's all over, I've got something to show for it. Now, that's my rationale. If I have to, I'm going to have to, listen, it's not, oh, I'll get out of the ministry. I won't have to suffer anymore. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. You say, well, I won't have any cancer if I would just get out of the ministry. My friend, you're going to have suffering no matter what you do. You might as well serve God rather than serve the flesh. At least you got a reason for it. At least you have a purpose living in this whole world. Listen, one day when we face God, God will make it right. Amen. At least you have something to show for your hardship. Let me say this. Look in Proverbs 11, verse number 18, please. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 18. I'm simply trying to give you a few things. I know these things will work for 30 years. And I have a hunch they're going to keep on working. Again, one's from David. One's from Jesus Christ. One is from Paul. This one's from Solomon. These things will never let you down. Much better than rabbit's foot, amen? Listen, remember, when God asks for something, that's his. Now you do with what belongs to him what he tells you to do. That's ethical. That's rational, right? Let me say this. Jesus said, do all things for his sake. He knew we were going to face tribulation. He knew we were going to go through tough times. He said, listen, remember, don't do things for the world. Now I know we ought to love people, and I know we ought to be concerned, and we do that. But behind it, there's a solid reason. I'm doing this for Jesus' sake. He's the one that deserves this. You might appreciate, you might not. Doesn't matter to me. Again, Jesus Christ is the one we do all things for. Paul said, listen, the whole earth groaneth and travaileth together. Paul, you know what that means, and you suffer a lot. Think about where Paul is right now. It's all worth it, amen? And let me say this, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18, Solomon said, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but notice this, to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. A sure reward. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're not mercenaries trying to get something from God. We didn't ask or tell God to do. That's what God said. God said, don't worry. He said that he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He initiated, he promised it, and God says, listen, one day when we face God, there's a sure reward. Remember, not here, not now. I hate to say this, you're probably not going to get anything close to reward on this earth for what you do for God. But God says, don't worry. It's all listed up in heaven. God's got the books and he's writing it down. Listen, it is documented in heaven what you have done for that little child. It is documented in heaven what you did for that person that could not help themselves. It is God says, don't worry, I will take care of you. Don't worry, I'll make it worth your while. Listen, in Psalms 19, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. In Proverbs, the Bible says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Isaiah 40, verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Samuel Rutherford was a Puritan. He said, one day, heaven will pay you. Yea, overpay you for your blood, your bonds, your sorrow, and your suffering. It will trouble the angels' understanding to lay the account of the surplus of glory which eternity will give to the one that served God. Martin Luther said, if we consider the greatness and the glory of the life we shall have when we have risen from the dead, it will not be difficult at all for us to bear the concerns of this world. We shall say, oh, that I did not throw myself under the feet of the godless for the sake of the great glory which I now see revealed and which has come to me. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Revelation 11, verse number 18, the Bible says the time will come. And ladies and gentlemen, the world cannot stop it. The world will try to get in the way, but they will not succeed. The Bible says the time will come where God will reward his servants, his prophets, his saints, and those who fear his name. God will reward them that serve him. Oliver Cowper wrote in 1946, often I'm hindered on my way. Burden so heavy, I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears. Many a heartache, many here appall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. The hymn writer wrote, oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ shall soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Young people, listen, any one of those truths will keep you going. Doesn't matter which one you pick. The funny thing is you could probably find many more of them in the Bible. But here's a few for you to consider this morning. When God asks you for something, don't forget, you're not giving him anything. It already is his. That's fine. If I get to keep a little bit for myself, that's more than I deserve. See, it's all about perspective. When we have the wrong perspective, we get the wrong thoughts. Could I share this with you? Jesus said, do everything for his sake. Churches are great. Bible colleges are great. People are great. But nobody's perfect except Jesus Christ. Do everything for him because he's sinless. He will never break a promise. He'll never let you down. That'll keep you going. That'll keep you going until you see his face. Paul said, the whole earth groaneth and travaileth together in pain. Everybody suffers. It's a big deal. I suffer, you suffer, we all suffer, so might as well serve God. Because you can't escape suffering. You can't make your life an effort to escape suffering. Unless you go to Mars, that's out of this world, right? No, that ain't going to happen. The whole earth suffers and groans together. Might as well serve God in the suffering. At least there's some reason to go through it. And then the truth is this. God says, don't worry. There will be a reward for your labor. God will not forget what you do for him. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us the privilege to be on your radar, that you would call us, that you would want us to do something for you. Now, Lord, I pray that we would put some things right in our minds, that we would not fail you one day. So many Christians are faltering and failing and disillusioned and bitter. It all started somewhere along the line. They were trusting in some rabbit's foot. instead of a principle that's from your word. Lord, our thinking is so off so many times. Lord, please help us during this time of preparation in college to settle on why we do what we do. Lord, I pray that we would continue put in front of us, again, the reason to press for the mark of the high calling. Lord, bless these young people. Lord, help them to adopt these great truths. And surely there's many more in the Bible why we ought to live a life, a full life, to the day that we breathe our last breath of trying to honor and serve you. Lord, please, may our lives be guided by principle and truth, not by feeling or emotion, not by ideas or concepts, but things based on your word. Please bless these young people. Bless this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.